Welcome to Toddler Toolkit.
Hi, parents. Today we're talking about traveling with your toddlers, especially between the ages of 2 and 4. And I have some exciting things to talk about today. What if your toddler's tantrums and acting out didn't dictate your travel and family trips? This really can be true. We can build social skills and resilience like muscles so our toddlers can navigate trips happily and be able to handle the more unexpected, even if you don't travel often. So we're going to talk about everything from booking a trip, how to make a trip less overwhelming for our toddler, how to make skills transferable from home to your family trip, how to handle tough situations where you might predict tantrums like eating out. And I also am going to share some reflections about my trip, some things I learned about dealing with the tantrums on the trip as far as during them and preventative, proactive strategies to not have as many tantrums. And it's going to be a great conversation. So let's go ahead and get started. Hi, parents. I just wanted to let you know this is happening soon and I don't want you to miss out. So if you're ready to stop tantrums in their tracks, I have a tantrum-free toddler summer trips guide coming out soon. This is going to be so helpful. So if you enjoy the episode today, stay tuned. Bye-bye power struggles. Prepare your toddler for the most joyful trip ever using my proactive tantrum strategies this summer. Coming soon. Stay posted. I'll update you when it's available. All right. We totally can build social skills and resilience like muscles so our toddlers can navigate trips happily and be able to handle the more unexpected, even if you as a family don't travel often. You don't always have to be traveling to have a good experience. And this might be creating some overwhelm or anxiety for you that tantrums could happen. How are you going to handle them? Will it ruin the trip? So I hope I am going to ease some of your anxiety today and help you think about some things. Now, if your toddler is in this in-between stage between a crib and a toddler bed, it can make things really interesting. And that is definitely where my toddlers are at right now. So if you are booking a trip and your toddler's in that in-between stage, you might be staying in a hotel, an Airbnb, or at a family or friend's house, right? And that might change what you guys decide to do as far as the sleeping arrangements and accommodations. So if your toddler is not in a toddler bed yet and you want a crib, you have some options. You can bring a travel crib. You can also try to get a crib at a hotel. And also some Airbnbs also have some portable travel cribs as well, depending on the home you're staying at. So we decided that our toddlers were not ready for a toddler bed yet, but that probably would change very soon. So we opted to get cribs at a hotel. And these are the kind of things that come up, especially if you haven't planned it yet, to be aware of. So we took a trip in December. We got two cribs because we have twin toddlers at a hotel. It was no problem. But at this trip we went to last weekend, it was actually a problem. A lot of the hotels didn't offer cribs, which surprised me because I thought legally that they had to, and I haven't looked into that more. But yeah, a lot of the hotels, they didn't have cribs listed under their accommodations. And we finally found a hotel that did. And this is a very popular beach city. So I really thought they would have more accommodations for children, especially toddlers. I was very surprised. One hotel did allow us to have two cribs, but they did say it could break fire code. So they had to double check with their managers. And then it came to be that they just needed to move a coffee table out of the room for the two cribs to be there. So even if you don't have twins, maybe you have toddlers close in age, this could be something that comes up for you if your toddlers sleep in cribs. And so we were able to work that out and obviously preferred sleep, right? Getting a good sleep. That's what my toddlers are used to, cribs. So that's where we opted instead of trying to do a toddler travel bed for the first time. So we just opted for what our toddlers were the most comfortable with. Now, because they are in this stage, and if yours are in this stage too, they might be almost outgrowing the smaller size crib. So travel cribs tend to be smaller and the hotel cribs tend to be a little bit smaller. They're not full size. So what happened was my one toddler was totally comfortable in the crib during the trip because he curls up, where my other toddler likes to spread out. His hands and feet were hitting the sides of the crib on each end and it wasn't so comfortable. So the next time we take a trip, most likely, because he's going to continue to grow, we're not going to be able to do the crib, even if he's still in the crib at home, because the travel cribs are just smaller. We looked into purchasing a full-size crib, and some of the issues that came up with that is just the price. A full-size travel crib that's full-size, like the one you have in your toddler's bedroom right now at home, is definitely on the more expensive side. So they can be close to $200 a piece. You have twins, that can be kind of an issue as well, right? So we opted for the hotel cribs, and obviously next time we're going to have to figure out something different. So if your toddler is in that in-between stage, it's good to make sure when you're booking accommodations that your toddlers are going to be comfortable. Are you going to do a toddler bed or a crib? Are you going to bring it with you like a travel crib, or are you going to have the Airbnb hotel, or does the family member, do they have a portable crib or bed that you can utilize? So those are all really good things to think about to be prepared for your trip. Also thinking about how many things you're packing, because in some instances, if you're packing a lot of things, the travel cribs can, you know, that you have to put them together, you have to bring them in the back of your vehicle. So just thinking about the space you have, would you rather already have it set up there, or do you want to bring it? And sometimes it's good to bring maybe one just in case as a backup, right? You never know. So figuring out what works for your family, where you're staying, and what's going to be comfortable for your toddler in the stage of their sleep development. All things to really consider. Packing essentials are also really important too. I want to get to that in just a little bit later. Also, we found we are traveling during nap time worked really great for us this time. Our toddlers are almost three. They have dropped their naps unexpectedly over the last 3 weeks, and they actually did nap in the car. It kind of soothes and rocked them to sleep being in the back seat crib in the car. So that did help. They slept about 30 minutes each on the way there on our trip, and they slept about 2 hours because they were so tired on the way back from our trip. So that was really great. They got good sleep. Obviously, think about your stops. I always pack snacks because my toddlers, if they do fall asleep, they always wake up hungry. So always having a snack, being prepared to stop, if possible, when they wake up to stretch, move their body, get something to eat, and scout out a place you're comfortable with stopping with. I always prefer to stop at McDonald's because I feel like, you know, their bathrooms are good. They have good seating, a little bit bigger space, and our toddlers can kind of get their own space in the restaurant. So it all depends on the options you have, what you're comfortable with. And that's just what worked for us on our current trip. All right. So some skills are transferable and we can leverage them to our advantage as parents. Okay. How do we make trips more manageable and have less tantrums and be proactive? I would simplify complex situations. If your trip has a lot of moving parts, is there a way we can break it down, make it more manageable, relatable to our toddler, make it simpler? We can use simple language, clear, simple pictures. And this is my idea, is to make the unfamiliar more familiar using a schedule or a routine in a social story. We can enhance predictability and security for our toddlers, make it more clear. So what I did this trip, because there were so many moving parts, this trip that we took a week ago, what I decided to do was create a simple social story using Canva. So all you have to do is go to canva.com. And when you go there, you can create your own design. So you can create your own design and you can just make it very simple. And, you know, it took me maybe like 10 to 15 minutes to make, but that's because there was a lot of parts. So it might not even take you that long to make. It's not about making this like perfect story. It's just something simple for your toddler to use. Obviously, you're busy, you're preparing, packing luggage for a trip. You're probably not going to want to be spending time making this perfect story. So that's definitely not what it's about. It's just about creating a simple social story that your toddler can access. You can read it to them before the trip and on the trip, and you can even read it to them after the trip and reflect if you want to do a little bit of extra and talk about what they experienced. But it was really helpful to talk about before the trip. Social stories definitely have some really good benefits, like I talked about earlier, making complex situations more simple, making it more predictable for our toddler and understanding the sequence of events. If you're not able to make a social story or that's just not going to fit for you for a certain trip, you can also get or check out from the library related themed books. So if you're doing a beach trip, getting a book about the beach, you can talk about it in that way. You don't have to create your own story. But the reason I like creating this story was because it was very specific to our trip that had a lot of moving parts and a lot of different things we were doing. So if you are doing something new or different for the first time, a social story is a great way to prepare, talk about that with your toddler, build the experience muscle for your toddler. And so how do you do it? So yeah, just go to canva.com, create a design, use a simple PDF. Each page, just make it a sentence. Like we're going to go in our car over the bridge, over the water. We're going to get to grandma's house. You can just make it very simple, like a sentence per page. Then, or you could use first, like first, next, then. First, we're going to get to grandma's house. Then we're going to go on an Easter egg hunt. After that, or next, we're going to visit great grandpa and celebrate his birthday. And so you can just keep it simple sentences. Then we're going to go out to eat at a restaurant. Then we're going to go swimming. And that is all things from the trip. This one day we had was so crazy busy. We did so many things. The fact that I could pull my phone out and show them really, really helped them understand the schedule for the day. And I didn't have to show them it all. I didn't show it to them in the morning. I read through the whole day. But then as we went through the day, I only showed them two things, like, okay, this is what we're doing next. And after this, we're doing that. So I didn't overwhelm them. And so after you create the story, just a simple sentence and a picture, you can upload pictures of important people or family members if needed. This helps if they haven't seen the family member in a while, so they can become and seem more familiar. Like we visited the boy's great grandfather. They haven't seen him in over a year at least. And they're not going to remember him, but they felt like they did remember him this time because they saw him in the picture and we talked about it. It was like they did remember him. And we practiced singing happy birthday. That was all part of the story, the social story I created. It was really great, really helped them understand. I highly recommend it if your trip has a lot of moving parts. So include those people in the pictures. You can do clip art. You can do real life pictures. It doesn't have to be your own pictures. You just upload them in the Canva app and then you paste it onto the page and you type your sentence. First, we're doing this. Okay. And then go to the next page. Next, we're doing this. And you don't have to do every single thing that's happening on the trip. Just find the big events or highlights or the things you think your toddler might struggle with, right? Like my toddler's never ate inside at a restaurant before. We've ate at a lot of outside restaurants. So I made sure to include the fact we were going to eat inside at a restaurant and made sure to include that. And we were going to go to, after that, we were going to go into an inside pool in the hotel. And they haven't swam since the summer. They did swim lessons last summer, but it's been a long time, months and months and months. So they've been in a pool. So I made sure to include that. So anything that you think is like a big event or something I haven't done in a while, or if you're worried that it could create a tantrum or just be hard for them to understand, that is when you could make that into a page. And then when you're done, you download it. You save it to your phone, and you can make all this on your phone. You don't have to do it on the computer. You can do all this on your phone, download it, and save it to your Books app as a PDF. And that means you can pull it up anytime on your phone before, during, or after the trip. So super helpful. So I highly recommend doing that because it's going to help build that experience muscle, right? So this is what I'm getting into. Like, you maybe, you know, on your trip, you're depending on the weather, depending on certain factors, hey, you're going to be doing this thing that you maybe usually didn't do. So that is okay. We can pull from previous experiences and build that muscle. So for my toddlers, we have ate outside many times with them at different outside restaurants. So there's many different opportunities where they did picnics at a table, whether it was at a park, whether it was a picnic at a brewery or a table at a brewery, or it was an outside table or eating experience at an outside restaurant that we had taken them to. So they've done all those times. They just never ate inside before. And so what we did was we drew upon those past experiences. And then when we went to have the meal in the restaurant, they did awesome. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we got through that restaurant experience and how we avoided tantrums. But right now, I'm just talking about building that experience muscle. So it doesn't have to be the thing you're doing on the trip, doesn't have to be exactly what you're doing at home. But if you can help build that muscle at home, then when they do that bigger thing on the trip, they're going to be more successful. So a different example to help you understand this concept is if your toddler is starting to use "excuse me" at home instead of running into you or their sibling, they're starting to use "excuse me," and then they go to the park and there's a child in their way. And instead of getting upset, having a tantrum, or instead of running into the child on the playground, they say, "excuse me." Wait, they took a skill, they learned it somewhere else, and they transfer it to a different setting like the park. So this is essentially what we want to draw on during family trips to really help our toddlers. And like, for example, if your toddler, you're taking a trip and maybe it's a beach trip, your toddler may not be comfortable with the ocean water, with the waves. You never know. They might love it. They might not be sure of it. It could also cause a tantrum. They could be scared of it, especially if they've never experienced it before. This is where obviously social stories or reading stories about books might help, but also other experiences and talking about it and drawing those experiences. So if you've done water play in the bathtub, you could talk about it. Like, the beach is like you're in the water too, like in the bathtub. You know, the water is going to splash at the ocean, right? It's not still like in the bathtub. But talking about that, maybe you've done a splash pad before, or maybe you've done a water table before, and you can kind of talk about water play, having water on your feet, the waves, and you can build up familiarity and talk about that and then tie it to your beach trip. You know, it maybe you went somewhere and they had like a sandbox and you can tie that, or maybe a outside volleyball sand pit where you can kind of draw, oh, that's like the sand on the beach. We're going to be on the sand when we go to the beach. So they're familiar with the sand and the waves, and you can talk about it. So that is how you can build those experience muscles so you have less tantrums. Because I remember the first time we took our toddlers to the beach, and after we moved to this, the area we live at the beach, our toddlers were not sure about the water and they were pretty scared of the waves. Now, as they got used to it, they were like, "This is the most amazing thing ever. I want to stand in the waves like all day." But it really is about helping our toddlers understand and navigate new situations and using familiarity however we can. Does your toddler have aggressive behavior? Does your toddler push buttons? Can your toddler not control themselves? And does your toddler almost seem to enjoy when you tell them no? and do it more, then sign up for the Transform Aggressive Behavior to a Calm, Kind, and Caring Toddler workshop waitlist. The link is in the show notes, and I am happy to support those families that are dealing with this. I know this is not everybody. This is a unique situation that some of us might have, but even if you don't have a toddler this to this extent, but maybe there's little pieces that you were resonating with, and you maybe see just a little bit of this, or maybe you're concerned that your child will take on more of these actions, more of these button pushing reactions as they get a little bit older, closer to 3, maybe 4, and you're concerned about that, then this workshop will be really helpful to you as well. Now, I want to get into eating out. So if you're going to be eating out on your family trip, sitting can be really hard for our toddlers. If they are 2 years old, they might only be able to sit for 2 minutes. If they're 3, they might only be able to sit for 3 minutes. But there are ways that they can sit longer. Maybe they already are used to sitting longer at home at family meals, or maybe they don't do that. You know, you got to kind of see where your toddler is and then how they're going to navigate family meals on your trip as well. And what we found was when we did our restaurant day experience, the boys had so much activity, they were pretty tired. So sitting wasn't that difficult for them. Now, if they had a lot of energy and were feeling totally hyper, the sitting could have been difficult. But because we scheduled that meal, that dining experience later in the day, after they did the Easter egg hunt, after they did the playground, after they did a bunch of activity, they were fine sitting for, they sat for a fairly long time because sitting felt good to them. They already had their energy out. And to keep their mind busy, you know, some restaurants provide things and others don't. Like this one provided a giant coloring page and some crayons. But it also could be a good idea just in case to bring that with you, especially if you're worried how your toddler is going to do. You can bring a coloring book and some crayons or some stickers. And that was something I meant to bring that I forgot. But luckily, the restaurant, they had that covered. And that took up the time until their meal came. And when their meal came, they were really hungry and totally happy. And we continued to interact with them. And now this is kind of something I also think that could bring up tantrums is sometimes if we are viewing an eating experience as downtime, and that can be when we see more tantrums. And I know we don't want to be on all the time, right? But what if we reframed eating is for connection? And not necessarily a downtime moment, especially if this is something your toddler's not familiar with, right? It's not the right time for it to be a downtime moment for us. And I think that is important to think about. So if we shift the perspective from viewing mealtime as a momentary break to seeing it as like an opportunity for bonding, learning, nurturing relationships in the family, especially while out on a trip at a restaurant. So having more communication, talking about the day, what did they do? Talking about the food. I know you're going to need your break. I totally get it. I have twin toddlers. But where can we get that break elsewhere to reduce the tantrums at mealtime? So that's just a little shift. Let's turn that mealtime into a connection time. I bet you're going to see less tantrums if you do that. Keep them busy with mental stimulation. And if they already have been active, that's going to help them sit longer during the meal and really enjoy it. So, you know, my toddlers may have normally only been able to sit for like maybe 6 to 8 minutes, but because of how we leveraged the meal, they were able to sit. I think they almost sat for about, it had to be like 50 minutes or so. But that's because they were got so much energy out and they were really hungry. And we were using it as a connection time with them instead of a downtime for us. So just a little tip, and help get your partner, get a family member, somebody to help give you that break time because you still need it. It's super important. So I'm not saying don't get a break, just maybe not utilize it as mealtime, especially if you're worried about a tantrum. All right, so let's get into tantrums then. So if you are worried about tantrums, we can prevent tantrums where our toddlers are having trouble understanding transitions. So transitions can be a tantrum trigger, and also communication barriers. Those can also be as well. So we can prevent those. And so that's why I have some stories to share about that. And then there's going to be tantrums that are not preventable. They're more big emotions. And a lot of those can be because we're holding like a boundary, and which I have two stories to share that describes these different types of tantrums and how we can deal with them. So my first story is, on our very busy day, we went to the pool after dinner, and the boys had so much fun. We did not give them a good heads up that we were going to get out of the pool. We pretty much were in the pool for like an hour. The boys were having the time of their life, so much fun. And they had done swim lessons before, so obviously they drew from their past experience with like swim lessons and going to the beach. So the pool wasn't a tantrum trigger for them. It was super exciting for them. They didn't want to stop. And when getting out, we kind of, as the adults, just got so tired, we forgot to give them a better heads up. So, you know, I think I said something like, okay, we're just going to swim like a few more laps, or we're just going to do a few more minutes. But what I could have done there instead could have let them know what we were doing next instead of just like when it was ending. So as a reflection, that's something I could have done better. My one toddler dealt with it fine. The other one had a tantrum, did not want to get out of the pool. And sometimes that was the boundary, was we are getting out. That is going to happen. And that's what I said, like, it's a big emotion, but we're not going to get back in the pool though, just because my one toddler is having a tantrum. We're not going to get back in the pool. It's done. But what I could have done to prevent that tantrum or made it a little bit easier was using something that I also talk about in my public tantrum game plan workshop, is using first then. So after we got out of the pool, the boys went to take a bath with their little duckies. So for Easter, they got eggs filled instead of with candy, they got eggs filled with little cars and also with duckies, little duckies. And so I intentionally did the duckies because I knew they could use them in their bath. So that was super fun for them. As soon as we got to the hotel room and I told them, hey, we're going to take a bath with the duckies you got, and they got to bring the eggs into the bath too that they came in, they were so happy. They were so happy. So what I could have done was I could have said, first, we're going to get out of the pool, and then we're going to take a bath with your toy duckies. So I could have used a strategy like that. I talk way more in the workshop about how to use first then. And I also talked about it in a previous episode where I did the lightning round Q&A, where I was talking about using first then when you're out at the park or the playground. So I'm not going to get too into it here. But you can see how there's different ways to help our toddler navigate transitions, and transitions can be definitely a tantrum trigger. And it was in this case. Transitioning from the pool to out of the pool was difficult. And so that was really tough for my one toddler, but he, you know, he calmed down in about 5 minutes and we left and all was good. But just those little things there, sometimes, you know, even though I know all these things, on trips, there's so much going on. It can be hard to remember, but hey, one little thing here and there to make your trip a little bit easier is going to be awesome, right? It's going to be helpful. The other thing, tantrum we ran into on the trip, was when one of my toddlers got hungry. So when we went to the Easter egg hunt it was Saturday morning, I asked the question to my in-laws and my husband's family. And I was just like, we're going on this Easter egg hunt. Sounds like they have food there, but should I still pack some snacks? And they're like, oh, no, I don't think it'll be fine. And so what happened was they did the egg hunt. They played on the playground and they got burned all this energy. And then my one toddler told me, I'm hungry, hungry, eat. And I didn't have the food. And guess what? The food they provided at the Easter egg hunt festival, it was kind of like a festival. They didn't have hardly any kids food. They literally just had chips, hot dogs, hamburgers, pretzel bread. And we could have tried maybe that. There was a long line for that food truck that had the pretzel bread, but it was kind of disappointing. They didn't have any food for the kids and I didn't pack anything. And I always do. And of course when we couldn't figure out the food situation, he flopped flat face down into the ground and was so sad. And I was like, I should have brought the lunchbox because I could have easily packed some applesauces, a yogurt pouch. I should have brought it and I didn't. So sometimes tantrums can be like basic need things. And so I explained to him, first, we're going to get in the car. Then we'll have snack at grandma's house. That really did help him get out of that tantrum zone. So these strategies really do work. But sometimes we kind of get back and we reflect to be like, if I just would have packed the snacks, you know, or if I was a little more clear on what we were going to do next. So it is good to reflect. Hopefully some of my blunders will help you on your trip, being mindful of certain things like snacks, doing more than just a heads up, but letting them know what they're going to do next. These things can really help with trips where there's a lot of unpredictable moving parts. The other kind of thing, which wasn't really a tantrum, but something that you could learn from my experience as well. It took my one toddler a long time to settle in his crib at the hotel. We could have brought in more routines from home. We could have brought a book or a nighttime story. We also forgot their lovies. So they're like little toddler animal blankets. They're called lovies. They help with your toddler's sleep. They help with separation anxiety. And they've had them since they were almost around the age of two. So they've almost had them for almost a year now, maybe a little under that. And we forgot those. You know, I was trying to make sure we brought all like the swimsuits, all the things that got left, accidentally got left on the table when we drove away, didn't realize it till we got there. So we didn't have a familiar nighttime story. We didn't have a familiar stuffed animal or toy for them. So that touch of familiar would have also helped because as my toddlers are getting closer to three, before on the trip, you know, they didn't seem to really be worried about as much, more go with the flow. But now they're really starting to. I think that as they age, they mature, they do notice things are different and they might get a little bit more worried or have anxiety or struggle with understanding what's going on. So that's why these things are so important as your toddler gets closer to three. So packing a home comfort kit, some small home comforts, a book, a toy, a blanket, even a nightlight. It was the first time my toddlers were afraid of the dark. In the hotel, it was dark. It was new. And so, you know, I could just open the curtains a little bit from the sliding door in our hotel, and it provided enough light, and that was totally fine. But some new things might come up. They usually don't worry about dada. They always want mama. But on this trip, they really needed a lot of reassurance from their dad. When he went to the bathroom in the hotel the first night we were there, they were like, where's dada? Very concerned, very worried. This was all new, right? We don't, you know. So even though we traveled just a few months ago, those things didn't come up. And I do think this is a developmental thing, more awareness of their environment. And so just knowing that some things might come up that haven't come up before, and to give that sense of security in ways that you can, will be really helpful. Another tip and something that worked well for us on the trip was bringing a simple toy or a simple, easy activity that your toddler can do independently for the hotel room also really helps. So they brought two little toy cars, and that did really help out, especially when, you know, we were just doing stuff around the hotel room or cleaning or whatever we needed to do, take a shower. That helped them be occupied. So that, even though it was just very little, we didn't bring like much of toys or anything. It was just they each had a toy. They each had one toy. That really helped while we were there. And at the hotel room, which we weren't at very much, but we were still there, obviously, in the morning and then the evening. So hopefully this was helpful. And you can think of ways to build those social skills, resilience in your toddler from previous experiences. Think of it like little muscles for trips, even if you don't take trips that often, maybe only take them every few months or only a few times a year. There's still ways that you can build that confidence for your toddler so you can have less tantrums, you can enjoy the trips more. And so you feel like your toddler's tantrums aren't going to dictate your travel and family trips. And if you like this, then like I said before, I have a tantrum-free toddler summer trips guide coming out that's going to be super helpful. And it goes way into more detail about preventing power struggles, stopping tantrums in their track, more on that side of it than this podcast episode covered. But hope you enjoy, and I will see you in the next episode. And that wraps up another episode filled with tools and insights to help your parenting journey have clarity and ease. Remember, every child is unique, and so is our experience, especially when there's more than one. Keep celebrating those small victories and learning along the way. I'm Heather, your Twin Mama Guide, and until next time, here's to raising skilled, self-regulated toddlers who listen, learn, and love. Take care and see you soon.